Beyond Sin 395.
It's the Marco and Andy Power Hour. With Andy Lass.
I have something to say that might shock you.
And Marco Marek.
Because you're getting old, man. You know, got to think about that, too.
All right, well, it's the Marco and Andy Power Hour. I am Andy, and that is Marco. Hello, Marco.
Hey, Andy, how you doing, Cobber?
I'm doing good. Are you saying Cobber?
Yeah, Cobber.
What's a cobber?
A cobber, that's like a buddy or a pal. Cobber, it's an Australian term. You never heard it?
No, I've heard copper, but that's like British.
No, you're not a copper. No, the copper's a cop. Yeah, police officer or whatever, but you're not a copper, obviously.
Aren't I?
No.
Maybe I'm an informant. I'm on the inside trying to take down the synthwave scene from within.
I've already told you too much.
Yeah. What's new with you?
What's new with me? I've been a little bit sick, Andy. Not a hell of a lot. The weather's been nice here. It's been a little warm for March. And I've been listening to a lot of good music, playing some video games and watching some movies and stuff. The usual, you know.
How long were you sick for?
For about 2 weeks. I'm still kind of getting over it. So everyone in the house is sick. So it's kind of, it feels like it's, I don't know, it's just a sick household, you know. It's germs bouncing around.
This is a flu?
Yeah, it was a flu, yeah. Yeah, good stuff.
Did you make sure to have all your fluids?
Fluids, vitamin C, juice, all kinds of vitamins, you know. And I was taking a lot of pseudoephedrine, which was drying up my nose, and cough syrup and shit like that, yeah.
Pseudoephedrine?
Yeah, you know, that's the active ingredient that they make meth out of. But It is. That's the thing that they need. But on its own, it's just nothing's better for drying up your nose, man. It's incredible stuff. Unfortunately, my wife can't take it because it gives her, makes her heart palpitate or some crap
like that.
She's, she gets a reaction. Some people can't take it, unfortunately. So,
whatever happened to nasal sprays? Do those still exist?
Yeah, they're still around. They're good. I find with nasal sprays that they work temporarily, but I noticed that after a couple of days, they don't do anything, and then, like, my sinuses come back even worse than before. I don't know if anybody else has the same thing. It's almost like it prolongs, and then when it comes back, it's even worse. Like, it's just like, God damn, I can't stop it running.
Yeah, see, they used to be a lot more prevalent up here.
Yeah.
In Canada. I don't know what it was like in the States, but, like, up here, there used to be commercials all the time for fucking, like, Otrivin was one of the brands, and I remember I knew someone who was sort of, like, addicted to them, because I guess, like, if you use them too much, then you start to kind of need them to fucking clear your nose. And I just remember it was a lot more common, you know, when you would go to like a convenience store or whatever, you know, how they have like lighters, you know, up at the front of the counter and there's sort of like those quick items. And I just remember there'd be like kind of Otrivin things where like, you know, where the fucking gum is and the quick access. And then I just thought about it. I don't think I've seen that product in like a fucking decade.
No, they're still around.
Okay.
I don't know if they sell them in a gas station or anything, but there are definitely like the farm and all that. I mean, I noticed them when I was looking around last time.
I'm going to look into this because I have a funny feeling that it's one of those things where the product came out and then maybe due to its like addictive properties or something that maybe just became more like, actually, this is more like a medicine you got to get at the pharmacy for. It's not like a fucking convenience store item anymore. Because, it just seemed like it was a, whatever, this is dumb. All right, let's...
Want to play some music?
Yeah, I'm going to play my song first, because you've got a lot of songs today, and I want to make sure I don't, my picks don't get lost.
Sure.
Lost in the rain. So, this is a cool song. We'll call this Successful Instagram Marketing, because this track was one of those, you know, when you're scrolling through Instagram, and there's, like, people advertising their music, and most of the time it's junk, but this song was actually really cool, and I'm like, hey, all right. So there you go, Echo Wolf. Your marketing worked. You got my dollar. Anyway, it's a cool song. This is called Contender by Echo Wolf. All right, and that was Echo Wolf with the track Contender. That's, people know the way to my heart is cool bass lines, and so they make me happy.
Cool bass lines and Tom feels.
Yep. That's all that matters to me. I don't need instruments. Just need dum 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 dum. Marco, so you're sick, but you're getting a little bit better. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, mate. Been playing a bit of Baldur's Gate. No, I haven't had sex with a bear yet. Okay, don't edit this and put it at the start again. But yeah, I've been playing that. I'm thinking about getting a RetroPie and got a friend that, well, online friend that does a pretty cool build. So I think I'm going to invest some money and maybe get something decent, you know. And I love playing retro games, Andy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's something to be said for the plug and play, like the ease of use. I would say when it comes to like retro gaming for me, especially when like dealing with emulators, probably like 50% of the time I spend is just adjusting settings in emulators and configuring controllers and graphics settings and all this crap and finding the right emulator settings. And so I almost feel like that's part of the game. That's
well,
like
I don't want to play that game, Andy. I just want to plug it in and play. That's what I want. I don't want to fuck around with I used to, actually, and I don't think I have the patience anymore for that shit.
Well, definitely, like, if you think about how much your time is worth, yeah, there's certain tasks where I will sit there and I think, like, what, did I spend, like, 20 hours, like, fucking adjusting this thing? Yeah. Like, would it have been worth it literally just to buy a pre-made thing if, but who cares? Sometimes it's kind of fun. Like I've been, you know, like I've been having fun building this arcade machine and I just figured out inset hinges.
What the fuck is that?
Because I'm an idiot. I've never built anything, right? And so there's certain things that I've never thought about in my life. I know it sounds dumb to say out loud. It'll make me sound like an idiot, but I don't understand hinges. Like I thought I did.
Oh.
Like I thought it would be like really straightforward because I have these doors on the front of the arcade like to open up to get to the electronics, but I wanted them to be sort of in a bit. So they're not like on the outside of the machine. They're sort of set in the machine. So I bought normal hinges. And then when I brought them home, I realized like, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense. Because like normal hinges only work if the doors are sort of like kind of on the outside of the machine or whatever.
Yes.
And so, because I've never fucking screwed a hinge in before, like I've never needed to. And so I'm like, oh fuck, I need to get different kind of hinges. And so I have to get those inset hinges where you kind of like drill into or like router into the fucking door a bit. And like the hinge kind of locks in. And anyway, I figured it out today.
Nice.
So I got one door on. So soon, very soon, I'll be able to show people pictures. I don't have artwork yet for the machine, but it is like all black right now. And I think it looks good enough that I might like post some pictures to the Beyoncinth Discord or whatever or on my social media or something. Because I think at this point, I'm happy enough with it, even just as a black machine. And I solved all those stupid controller problems I was talking to you about.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I don't want to go through the damn controller problem. Dude. But I guess it depends on what you use.
Yeah. What I should have done was go to the website for the emulator and just go, they have a Discord with like, you know, like an FAQ.
Mm-hmm.
And literally in the FAQ, my answer was right there. You know, I had this particular controller I got on Amazon. It was like a player one and a player two joystick and they light up the buttons.
Yeah.
And the brand name is like Dragon something. So I plugged one in and then when I plugged player two in, it fucked up all the controls. Like it's like the machine forgot all the settings. Oh, and so I was like, oh, there's something wrong with the player two joystick. So then I ordered different joysticks from Amazon, like different brands, but then they had their own problems. Mm-hmm. Where like it would, one of them would suck the power from the player one joystick. So if I pressed a player two button, then all the lights would shut off on the player one controllers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was, you know, just that. And then it turned out the whole time I went to the FAQ and it's like, if you're using Dragon controllers that you bought on Amazon, you fucking idiot, you just had to make sure that there's, you know, there's like a little chipboard where all the wires go.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, button one plugs into plug whatever. What I had to do was basically player one and player two, their plugs had to be in the exact same port on the two separate chipboards. So like if you had chipboard one, button one would have to be plugged into plug number one or whatever. And then on player two, the same thing. So they had to completely match. And then once they matched, mm-hmm. everything fucking solved itself. Then everything just worked.
Christ.
And so I just had to return those other ones back to Amazon. So it just turned out sometimes you got to take that extra 2 seconds and just read. And the answers are there.
And read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do your own research. That's what I always say.
Yeah, I do a lot of that actually. Just even work stuff at work and at home. Like, you, dude, like, YouTube is amazing. Mm. You know, I don't know what the fuck we did before the internet, really. You know, it would be cool to go back to the 80s and stuff, but I'd be like, man, what the fuck did people do? Like, you just don't know. How do you beat this game? How do you fucking, you know, fix this door with the hinges and shit? Or anything like what you're talking about. I mean, you're fucked, basically, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I do that a lot. I find out how to fix shit a lot online. That's my go-to move.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I do think about that all the time, like how many problems I solve that way. Because, yeah, before the internet, what'd we do? We just fucking jerked off to Swank.
I know. Jerked off to Cosmopolitan. That's pretty much, you know, whatever your mom had at the time.
Well, my mom definitely didn't have Swank magazine.
No, I hope not.
Well, look, let's listen to some more music. You got some picks this week.
I sure do. I got the new one here, which I am addicted to hopelessly right now. It's a new one from Isaac Howlett, who is a singer and songwriter from Empathy Test, who I think everybody knows. This one's called House of Cards, and it's his solo work, and it's just, I don't know, it's got a real authentic 80s vibe to it. It's kind of reminds me a little bit of Pet Shop Boys in the chorus there. It's fucking really good stuff.
When you close your eyes, when you say good night. I saw right.
All right, and that was House of Cards by Isaac Howlett. And that, that's a really awesome song. He messaged me like a month ago or so and just said, oh, I got this single coming out. And I said, okay, you're going to have to remind me. And then I completely forgot. So then when you brought this song, I was like, oh, that's perfect. So see, you get all the credit. Now he'll see the link and see like, oh, they shared the song. That's because Andy remembered what I said. Well, I forgot what he said. And Marco picked up the slack.
No, Andy would have played it eventually. That's all right. He knows what he's doing.
No, I love Empathy Test. There's some great...
Me too.
Some really good songs that I listen to all the time. In fact, it's one of the things I think about when I'm trying to categorize my music.
Yeah.
Because when I categorize, I like to categorize by like a feeling or a mood.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how there's some stuff where it's like, oh, this is really well produced, you know, really awesome like synth pop music, but it's kind of melancholy. And so the vibe is different, right? And so when I think of Empathy Test, it's not quite like the same vibe as like listening to, you know, like an Ollie Ride track or something, you know, like it's a different vibe. And so I always wonder like what to do with the more melancholy stuff, because there's still a lot of energy to the songs. It's like, so it's like, do I put it in like a new wave folder?
Yeah, it's difficult because they kind of do their own thing. I can't really say that they're close to anything else. You know what I mean? Like, it's more synth pop, and it doesn't, some of it doesn't have so much retro to it, but it's really hard to categorize because they really do their own, they have their own sound. So, good luck with that, mate. Yep.
But it is cool that he's like branching out and doing some more stuff, because that's cool. I want to hear more music because it makes me happy. You know what we should do?
What's that?
Very quickly, before I forget, birthdays, because I just have like four. We're going to do March birthdays. So, we're recording this in March. This will air probably, only the last week of March.
April?
This will air.
Oh, yeah,
yep. I don't know. It should air several days after we record it. And so we're in March, and so we're going to do the March birthdays. We got four March birthdays, all right? So I want to say a happy birthday to Kyle, a.k.a. Waylon Caskey Geospatial.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if his tour, he told me when it was over, and for some reason I feel like it was April, but then was that when he started or when it ends? And then he goes back home because he was in, where the fuck was he, Kosovo? Wasn't that where I talked to him?
Was he really? Oh, yeah, that's right. I think he was. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, so anyway, happy birthday, buddy. And then we got Richard, a.k.a. Polar Wildcat Studios. Kyle's birthday was March the 7th, so a little belated birthday.
Happy birthday, mate.
And also a belated birthday to, actually, these will all be belated, I think.
Yeah.
To Richard, Polar Wildcat Studios on March 13th. Happy birthday belated to you. And another happy belated birthday to Christopher Albert on March the 20th. Hope you had a lovely day. And then finally at the end of the month on the 28th, a happy birthday to Ashley Keegan. And I hope you have a lovely day and keep on being cool.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the March birthdays. See, it was really easy today when there's only like a few. That's great.
Nice.
Do you want to play me another song?
You haven't played anything off the new Fear of Tigers album, have you, Andy?
I don't think so.
Well, it just came out a few weeks ago. It's really good stuff. He's obviously no stranger to the show. But yeah, he's got a new album out called Please Hang Up and Try Again, which is available obviously on Bandcamp and Spotify and all those sites. I guess the track that stuck out to me the most is a real energetic track. It's called You Found Love.
All right, and that was You Found Love by Fear of Tigers from the album Please Hang Up and Try Again. And that is a cool song. And I'm here with Marco. It's the Marco and Andy Power Hour. We're catching up, having a good time. I should say we watched a movie we'll talk about in a bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we did.
This is something I know you've been wanting to watch this for a long time, Megaforce.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know we talked about it at least for a year, where you just be like, one of these days, we got to watch this, we got to watch this. And then the trailer looked so funny and awesome, and then we did. And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah. You know, like, I didn't realize that I actually seen the movie before. I must have watched it when I was really young, because I remember the end scene. And somehow I got confused with the end scene. I thought it was somehow, I mixed it in with Delta Force.
Okay.
I got confused. Anyway, so I have seen it before. I just fucking don't really remember it.
Okay, that was my first time.
Yeah.
And my last time, but yeah. I don't want to spoil. It was that good. It's a little betrayal, because the trailer for the movie was like, it just was very fun, because it showed all this like fun action and people in silly outfits and some funny green screen or blue screen or whatever color they used back then. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Oh, well.
It's all good. You've been telling me off air here you want to get into some GoldenEye.
Yes, I do. Like I said, I want to get a RetroPie. Look, I've been wanting to play GoldenEye for a long time. I'm kind of a purist, too. I don't really want to play an updated version or anything. I want to play GoldenEye and Lilat Wars or Star Fox 64. But, like, I've tried to play the online emulators, and the kind of controls are always fucked. Mm. The online emulators are kind of like a Flash type thing, and it works great for Super Nintendo or anything before that, but for like Nintendo 64 or PlayStation, it really don't work too good. So I want to get a dedicated RetroPie just for that, and I want to go through and play GoldenEye. You know, I never finished that game for some fucking reason. I had an obsession with playing it on the hardest mode. What is it, 007 agent or something like that, or special agent? I can't remember.
Yeah, well, there's 007 mode is the hardest, but then when you do the whole game, you unlock another mode.
Oh, Jesus.
But that mode is like a debug sort of mode.
Oh.
So in that one, you can actually adjust sliders. You can like make enemies like really hard to kill and stuff, but it's like you don't earn anything. Oh. It's just sort of more for
fun.
Yeah,
well, I played on 007. I never played it. So then I got up to, oh geez, I can't remember which level it is. I think it's the second last level, and I couldn't get past it. And instead of like dropping down the difficulty level to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna no, I stuck with it and I never actually got through it. So I'm gonna do it on difficult, man. Oh, you'll see.
You know, I talk about GoldenEye a lot. People know that I love it, but I have something to say that might shock you.
Uh-oh, what is it?
Maybe we should listen to a song first.
No, I want to know what the fuck you're saying now. What?
I got...
What are you on about? Come on, mate.
Well, look, I want to play a song, and then I'll tell you.
All right. Jesus. Better not be a long song.
It'll be, let's see here. You know what? I Vincenzo Salvia did a thing that made me happy.
Yes.
Because in the synthwave scene, obviously, he's focused on a particular time, and I keep on waiting for the... Someone's got to start bringing out the 90s, like, Eurodance throwback stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And Vincenzo did it, and it makes me happy. He made a little three-track EP called Europarty, and it is literally just Eurodance music.
Cool.
And this was a song that I liked. This was my favorite from the Euro Party little EP there. This is My Sign featuring Vanessa K by Vincenzo Salvia. Rhythm of the night. And that was Vincenzo Salvia with My Sign featuring Vanessa K from his Europarty EP. I would love to make a fucking throwback dance music thing. It would make me laugh, do the fucking stupid rapper and everything.
Fuck yeah, I used to love that stuff.
Too Unlimited and stuff?
Yeah, Too Unlimited.
Like, where is that? You'd think there'd be more of that. Like, this thing that Vincenzo's done is totally like, okay, he did it, but I figured there would be more by now of like kind of 90s throwback techno and trance and stuff, but I haven't heard much.
I think there's a little bit going on, and if you listen to some groups are posting stuff like that, but it's not generally associated with synthwave. That's the thing, I think.
Yeah.
I have heard some, yeah.
I'll have to go look. But anyway.
What do you got to say? Yeah, come on.
I told you I was going to shock you. Yes. I'm going to do that now.
Shock it to me.
Well, it's not really that big of a deal. I actually only owned GoldenEye for like 4 months.
What do you mean?
I mean, I sold it.
Why would you do that?
Well,
what is wrong with you?
You see, when I was young, I didn't really have much money.
You sold it for drugs? That's desperate, man. Oh, well, I mean, that I can understand, I guess.
No.
Oh.
When you're young and you have actual time and like hours and hours to invest in games, like I don't have anymore, but I used to, basically, like, I beat the story mode, you know, in like 3 weeks. Like, that was, you know, of like, you know, playing on the harder modes and just playing over and over and over again and then trying to get the fucking speed runs to get the cheat codes and all that stuff. And we played the multiplayer.
Yes.
So, you know, we played GoldenEye multiplayer for like, you know, several months on weekends and stuff. But then I ended up selling the game so that I could like buy another game. And so, to be clear, I put way more time into Perfect Dark than I did GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Like, I loved GoldenEye, but Perfect Dark was the one because it did stat tracking and shit that, like, you know, like, you had your character saved. I had my buddy who would always come over and play on my system. He had a character saved on the cartridge, and so it just felt like you were just more connected to the multiplayer mode of that game, and it had bots, and it had all the different options.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually played more Perfect Dark. So what ended up happening is I had a buddy who just ended up giving me his GoldenEye.
Oh, what a great friend.
He was rich, so I could. So the GoldenEye I sold, it was like several months after that, and then we just, you know, we're playing other games, and Zelda and other games were like taking up my time, and then eventually I just sort of acquired another copy of GoldenEye, and so like it was still there, you know, like it was still around. But actually, considering the amount of time I talk about that game to everybody, it's when I think back, I'm like, yeah, like I sold it like pretty soon. Like once I beat the story mode, I did everything I needed to do. We had a few months of fun with it, and then you know, then I was playing Zelda and, you know, like Mario Kart and shit. And so,
well,
did that shock you?
I would never sell GoldenEye. Never would sell it. No. I just remember when it came out and it was just something else, man. Like, it was just miles above. And it was so addictive. We bought it when it very first came out. And I was literally missing parties, really good parties, because I was like, no, I'm staying home and playing this. I got another level to beat. Fuck that. That's the first time I've ever, like, really been into a game that much where I would refuse to go to a really good party. So, I knew this was on another level, you know. It was incredible.
I've actually been playing the Xbox. Like, now that I'm on my kick of playing old games, because I just haven't played really anything, any new games at all. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get trophies on Xbox. And so I've just been going through. And another crazy thing is it's been so long since I played that game on hard that I forgot. Like, there's certain things about that game I forgot how easily Natalia dies in that stupid level where you have to protect her.
Yeah, it's so annoying, I know.
I was playing, I'm thinking, like, did she always die this fast, or is this some weird glitch on, like, the Xbox One? Because, like, the second that guard breaks the glass and starts shooting through and hitting her, if you don't kill him, she's dead.
Yep.
Like, she takes, like, 3 hits and dies. I mean, I knew, obviously, like, in my memory, that it was always the most frustrating level, but it's still pretty crazy even now, thinking, like, I was even doing good. I had to like memorize where the stupid guys came in, because it's like you got to be prepared. Like, okay, now there's going to be a guy behind that glass. He's going to start shooting the glass. So you got to fucking spin around and kill him. And anyway, why don't you play me some more music?
Okay, I got one for you. There's a new vocal track from A Walk in the Woods, or as he's known, AWITW. the track is called Marion, and it features Ross Luster. Really good stuff, Andy. We'll be right back.
yesterday.
And that was AWITW, aka A Walk in the Woods, with the track Marion featuring Ross Luster on vocals there. And that was a little Marco's pick because we're having the Andy and Marco Power Hour, the Marco and Andy Power Hour. Whoops. Put my name up front.
Hey, I heard that, mate.
How do you feel about that?
That's not good.
You Australian fuck.
That's real nice.
So. I just decided that's going to be the new thing, is my attitude will just change halfway through the show. So I will say this to you.
Yes.
If you do want to get back into GoldenEye, again, I don't know too much about too many things, but I do know the proper way to play that game using your computer, and I suggest you follow my instructions and do it.
Okay.
I'll send you the fucking folder.
Yeah, please do, because I've tried to play it again, as I've told you, and never really had luck, and the controls are fucked, because you're using the yellow buttons to move, I believe, and the left one is to aim, which really don't work in a modern day. It's all fucked up, so that needs to be changed, right, Andy? That's the biggest problem, I think.
Yes. The thing is, I've spent decades hearing people complain about the antiquated controls of GoldenEye, and the thing is, since I've been playing with an emulator this whole time, those conversations just frustrate me because it's so easy to adapt the GoldenEye controls to dual analog, and when you use the emulator, like you just make the C buttons the left stick, and you make the look stick your right analog stick, and then it's literally just dual analog controls. Anyway, I can send you a folder, because that folder contains, it's the Project 64 emulator that's been modified by nerds specifically for GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, and so you can overclock it, you can make the game actually run at a smoother frame rate, higher resolution, use a fucking PlayStation controller. It just makes no sense to play it any other way.
Well, the frame rate's a major issue. I know it was, especially with Perfect Dark, was even worse than GoldenEye.
Yes.
You get a lot of enemies on the screen. It really slowed down bad.
That's why I'm actually really excited for, even more so, like, I mean, they did an HD remaster Perfect Dark on Xbox 360.
Yeah, they did.
Which I really like. It's like, it's good. There's one thing, though, that Perfect Dark did at the time that I remember, it was really cool. It was a visual effect where the lights had lens flares on them. And I remember when that first came out, it was a really cool effect. And I was just like, oh, that is really neat. It made the game look so cool. But now, it's like one of the things that drives me nuts about Perfect Dark is that stupid lens flare effect I find really annoying.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was so state of the art at the time.
Yeah, like at the time it was fucking wicked, but now it's fucking annoying because it's not like a real light. It's basically just every single light source in the game just has this stupid like lens flare floating in front of it, and it's really distracting. So there are these people doing these things called decompilation projects, because when you use an emulator, you're essentially, an emulator basically is pretending to be the console, the game console, mm-hmm. and then you find a ROM, which is the files from the cartridge, and then you need the emulator pretending to be an N64, and then you put the thing, and then you load it. But there's these decompilation projects where people actually reverse engineer the game so they actually run on the computer, like without the need of an emulator. And why that's exciting is because when something is decompiled that and is now like basically like a computer program, you can then do any kind of modification you want. Because some games, you know, when they're designed to be played on an N64, there's certain enhancements you actually can't do. The game was never designed to run at 60 frames a second, so it actually just won't, no matter what you do to it.
Oh, no shit.
But if you decompile the game, then you can do fucking any crazy modification. So, like, I found this one called, it's Zelda Ocarina of Time, and it's a decompilation project called Ship of Harkinnon. I don't know why, but anyway, it's got all these improvements to the game, mm-hmm. because they can basically modify it however they want. So like literally, like you remember playing Zelda?
Yeah.
You can go into this game's menu and say, I don't want the fairy saying hello so much, and you can disable it. Like you can actually do all these fucking quality of life fixes to the game, and it runs at fucking 60 frames a second, like for real. You can up the resolution. It's like, it's so fucking cool. And there's people working on Perfect Dark right now, the same concept, like decompiling it for PC.
Yeah.
And so that's cool, because I'm hoping basically somebody does that and then gives me the option to turn those lens flares off.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I can't believe I just took 3 minutes to say that. That's like such a pointless...
the lens flares. Well, you're passionate, man. It's good. I understand.
That's dumb.
You're
okay,
a passionate
look,
bugger.
I am a passionate cobber. I'm a passionate cobber. I got a cool song here from... what should we listen to? You know what? I got a cool one from Doug Masters. It's kind of a chill, wavy sort of track.
Oh, cool.
I really dug this one. It's got a neat mood to it. I believe it is called... It's Obsession, but I think it's like the Spanish version because there's like an accent over the O. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's like Obsession or whatever, if they're... I don't know how they, I don't know. I think Doug Masters is from Mexico. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah. I don't know if it's one guy or two. I mean, it's Masters, so.
So maybe it's like a Obsession. Obsession. I don't know. I don't know. I can't do that. But anyway, the point is, I'm going to say Obsession. It's a cool song. It's by Doug Masters. Dig it. We'll be right back. All right, and that was Doug Masters from the album Teleport with the track Obsession or Obsession. I don't know, I'm just guessing. I don't know what you're supposed to do when there's a weird accent over the O. But yeah, it's a cool track. I'm here. It's the Marco and Andy Power Hour. We're talking about emulators and decompilations and what else?
Well, we're going to talk about Megaforce, I believe.
Yeah, I guess we can do that.
I sense you're kind of dreading it a little bit.
Honestly, okay, we'll talk about Megaforce. The trailer looked so awesome. That's not to say there is some positives about this movie. So just for so people know, it's some elite group called Megaforce. They're kind of like mercenaries, but they have like the best super high-tech equipment, and they got these beige spandex outfits, and they kind of ride motorbikes that have rockets on them. And there is a cool score, so I will say like the theme song was awesome.
Yeah.
And there was a few moments where the music was really cool, but it was super fucking corny. Like, it was corny as shit.
Not a good corny either, really.
No, like, this is a tough one because it's actually trying to be funny, so all the characters are kind of, like, quirky, and I just found them all unlikable. Like, I didn't like anybody. Like, they annoyed me. Like, the lead guy annoyed me. The, what's his face? Not Dove. Fucking Dove. Swan.
Dove.
From fucking Warriors.
Warriors, yeah.
His, like, cowboy character was just fucking annoying. Like, he had these, like, dumb slang sayings and stuff.
You talk about Michael Beck. Yeah, yeah.
I just love these holograms. They the cat's meow. That's all, folks. Right this way, Major Man.
And even the lead guy, I was like, why do I fucking recognize this dude?
Call me Hunter.
When he got older and had gray hair, he was on this show called Spin City with Michael J. Fox.
That's what I know him from. Yeah, yeah, and he played like an idiot kind of thing, but he was good in it, you know.
He was like a mayor or something, right?
That's right, yeah.
Spin City was a show that I didn't pay attention to, but it was there.
I honestly liked it while Michael J. Fox was there, so I know him a lot from that. We used to watch it, I mean, until Michael J. Fox left.
Mm-hmm.
So that's primarily what I know him from, too, but he's so young in this.
Yes, now other people, of course, will know him, because I'm not a fan of Rocky Horror Picture Show. That movie annoys the hell out of me. Yeah. But he's also in that, and I think that's what a lot of people probably would know him from, because he's basically like the guy, right, when he shows up to the mansion with the lady. But I just found that the fucking humor was so fucking lame, because I wanted to like it because that trailer, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, oh shit, like there's gonna be motorbikes with fucking colored smoke, and there was a fucking shot of like a flying motorbike at one point.
Yeah,
it's like an elite force. And then, you know, when the movie starts, it takes them like, well, actually I wrote it down, they don't even go on that first mission. It's like 48 minutes into the film is when their bikes like touch the ground, and then they start their fucking assault on that base.
Yeah.
And there's literally like a scene where he explains the plan for 5 minutes, like where he's just sitting on, like, the lady and the fucking Michael Knight's boss are like sitting on the couch, and then he's there just explaining what their plan is gonna be, and the scene goes on forever. Like, he like literally explains the whole fucking plan, and it's just like, fucking do something. Like, I was so frustrated.
Our remaining planes are over the DZ, with first vehicle out of the door at 0421, last at 0423, on the ground, combat ready at 0426. It's 5 kilometers to the dumps. We will strike at 0430, destroy fuel and ammo dumps and as much equipment as we can, withdraw and regroup by 0434.
It's pretty slow, yeah. I mean, the only action you really get is them at the start, they're on their bikes, and they're like training, shooting fucking balloons or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's great. Wow. Yeah, and then like you said, 40-something minutes before you really see any action at all. It's kind of lame. And then the action scenes are really disappointing. It's like terrible choreography, and there really isn't any direction on what they're doing. All they're doing is shooting missiles.
Yeah.
And hitting things. And it's like, well, is there a plan? Or, like, are you taking out something important? Or where is the resistance? Is there any fight scenes? It's just nothing, really, you know? It's like, it's really confusing on what actually is going on.
I just realized there was, like, no actual, like, kind of hand-to-hand combat in that movie, was there?
None at all.
It was literally just all motorbikes shooting rockets.
Yeah. Yep. It's kind of boring and a little bit. A bit disappointing.
There was this weird line of dialogue, too.
A lot of weird lines of dialogue. Which one?
It's Michael Knight's boss from Knight Rider, mm-hmm. and then this lady who everybody likes because she's a pretty lady, and the cowboy guy meets her and he's like, you're the kind of lady that makes, like, Bibble walking in the woods seem enjoyable or something. And I just didn't know what the fuck he said, and I still don't. I actually didn't look it up. Maybe I should look it up now. Because it sounded like he said Bibble walking in the woods. I'm like, what the fuck is Bibble walking? Like, I didn't understand the joke. Unless he was talking about fucking whacking off.
And you are Major Zara Benduda, only daughter to the president, and the kind of officer that makes bivouacking in the woods seem downright desirable.
You know what? I'll try and maintain some sort of positivity. How about you you play me a song,
okay.
and then I'll come back and tell you what I like. Because there is a few things that were okay.
Yeah. Trying to remember what they are, actually. Yeah. Now.
But, well, think about
some positivity.
It.
Positivity.
Yeah.
Emil Rottmeyer has got a new track out. It's actually the first track from his up-and-coming EP to be announced when it will come out. But by the sounds of things, it's going to be really good. So this is Radiate from Emil Rottmeyer.
All right, and that was Emil Rottmeyer with the track Radiate. That was a cool song, and this is a cool time with Marco and I on the Marco and Andy Power Hour, listening to cool music. We're talking about the movie Megaforce, which we just watched from 1981?
No, 82, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, 82. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So, I guess a lot of the cool shots are fucking in the trailer. So, number one, it does have a cool theme song, absolutely. There's a sequence towards the end of the film where all the motorbikes are going, and they have colored smoke streaming off them.
That does look cool.
And that scene was cool, like, and it shows, like, the desert, and there's just all these bikes, and they're all, like, different colored smoke shooting off them, and, like, that was a cool scene. There was one little stunt I like where they're fighting these tanks. The plot was really confusing as well, but, like, they're fighting these tanks.
It was very confusing.
And they do, like, he does a jump over the tank, and then, like, as he's, like, kind of floating over the tank, he fucking drops a grenade on the tank, like, as he flies over.
Yeah, that's right.
I did like that. Okay, I'm looking at the quotes. Now, let's see if they fucking say...
Yeah, he keeps saying, it's all on the wheel. It all comes around. Like, okay.
Yeah, there's another one, too, where he's like, some guy gave me advice. You love him in blue and you love him in red. Most of all, you love him in blue. And then there's like this pause and the guy's like,
oh, yeah, what the fuck was
like,
that
that's
about?
Totally inapplicable to anything that's going on here. And it's dumb.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, well, where did you hear that? He goes, you told me that.
One time before I made a jump into Da Nang, old buddy of mine told me something made me feel a whole lot better.
What? What did he tell you?
Well, he said, you love him in blue and you love him in red. But most of all, you love them in blue.
That's totally inapplicable to anything that's going on here. And it's dumb. Who told you that?
You did.
But it's very wise. Very wise.
It's like, what the fuck?
Where? No, I'm trying to... I'm seeing if they... No, they don't have it here. Fuck me. Okay, I'll just play the sample so people can hear. It sounds like he says, you're the kind of person that makes bibble walking in the woods feel... is a good time where I'm fucking it up.
And the kind of officer that makes bivouacking in the woods seem downright desirable.
And then he also had this line that's in the trailer that was in the movie, but it sort of relates because he's talking to the bad guy, and then the bad guy had a funny line.
You're an idealist. In the 70s, we could be idealists. But today, it's too expensive.
But today, it's too expensive! And then later in the movie, the hero says to him, the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Oh, listen, I just wanted to say goodbye and remind you that the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
This is weird to see a movie that takes place in the 80s where someone like references the 80s as being like a cool thing or whatever.
It is weird.
But it almost feels like it just doesn't even belong in the movie. It's like, that's a line for the trailer.
I know, it's confusing because I think it's in the future because it's all like a desolate, barren land. You know, like, so it's like, wait, is it the 80s? I don't fucking know what's going on. It's really confusing when he says that. It threw me right off, too.
And the fucking love story was terrible.
Oh, so bad.
The pacing of the film was just weird, like, because there's no action for such a long time, and then there's this whole segment where the girl's like, okay, well, I'm going to come on the mission, too. And there's this whole montage of her doing all these different trainings. There's this fucking hilariously shitty-looking skydiving scene, which is pretty funny, like, the effects.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's green-screened, and then sometimes they will be showing real footage of the skydiving in the background, but then one of the people will be green screened, so like they're close to the camera, but the footage that they're being green screened over top of is the real skydiver, and they're like, it's really funny. Like, it was a few shots there that really made me laugh. But then there's this whole sequence where she trains there, she goes skydiving, she's trying to show that she's just as awesome as them or whatever, and then after this whole stupid montage, she's just like, yeah, I'm sorry, it's still, it's pretty good that you know, you're able to do all that, but I'm still not taking you.
Yeah,
and that was it. So why the fuck did we
That's
just watch this 10-minute fucking montage of this lady doing all these things if she just didn't go on the mission anyways? It was like so stupid.
So pointless. Well, the movie, they actually spent a fair bit of money on the movie. Some of the scenes do look pretty good, like some of the map paintings, I guess they were, and the, and the sets and the props were pretty good, like the base. Some of that looked quite good for an old movie, and then some of it looked completely shit, like you're saying, like the skydiving scene, and obviously the final scene was horrible. But they spent $20 million on the freaking movie, so they spent some money, and it was a huge commercial and a critical flop. Yeah, it got really bad reviews, and it won a whole bunch of Raspberry Awards or whatever they call it. Is that what they call it? Raspberry Awards?
Yeah, the Razzies, yeah.
Yeah, the Razzies, that's it. And it won a whole bunch, obviously. So, yeah, it was pretty bad.
It's always hard to judge movies like this because it's like Sharknado or those sorts of things where the movie is tongue-in-cheek, right? So it's not trying to be so serious, but then there's moments that are serious and they fall flat because it's like, what is this fucking movie? Like, you got all these characters running around. They're all goofy, weird, quirky characters who say weird things. And then there'll be like these occasional moments that like you're, and it's hard to take that lead guy seriously, but like you're also kind of not meant to. So it's like, are you allowed to criticize, you know, going like, this movie's fucking goofy and stupid. It was like, but it's supposed to be goofy, but it didn't work. Like none of the humor, none of the intended humor worked for me at all.
No, I didn't.
It was really corny and it made it like really awkward. But like you said, the budget, it's strange movie because it looks shitty. So it looks like when you're watching like those B movies off Tubi and stuff, like when they're filmed with like shitty cameras and like the picture's not cleaned up or whatever. But some of the stuff that was happening on screen looked like some high budget stuff, like especially those desert scenes. They had real tanks, they have all those fucking motorbikes with the fucking smoke and the explosions and stuff,
right?
But it's
right.
Like the cinematography looked shitty.
Yeah.
There's no excuse because like you see movies from like the fucking, mind you, we're watching movies that are like cleaned up, but you know when you're watching like Alien, I mean, I know we can't really compare these movies, but you know, or you know, Terminator or whatever, like when you see them cleaned up, like they look good. Like Scarface looks fucking great. It's like, I mean, it's 84, yeah, but I mean, it's when you see it on Blu-ray, like the colors are vibrant, it's nice and crisp, and just because a movie is filmed in 1980 doesn't mean it has to look like garbage, but I feel like maybe all the money was put towards the motorbikes and the tanks and like not towards the cinematography.
Yeah, because I had some decent helicopters in there, planes. I mean, you know, they spent a bit of money, but yeah, it's not in the right area, like you said, probably.
So my recommendation for Megaforce is that people watch the trailer.
Yeah, that's the best part about it. I just have to mention that I know I've been talking about, my wife keeps doing it to me now after watching that movie, is the fucking thumb kiss thing that they do. Like, oh my God, it's so bad. When I go to work, she'll like give me the thumb kiss. It's like, fucking hell, piss off. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that was supposed to be their like kind of cute romance thing where they do like a, they kiss their thumb and then do like a thumbs up with it.
It's so bad.
It is bad.
And I don't know if we're supposed to talk about the final scene as well or not. There's a spoiler, I guess, but we can, right? I mean, fuck's sakes, the movie's pretty old.
Well, how about this? How about we listen to a song?
Okay.
And then we'll wrap up the Megaforce review.
Sure, sure. All right, you want me to go next?
Or yeah.
All right, well, as you know, my playlist would never complete without a bit of a chill wave in there, Andy. So I threw a good one in here that I'd like. It's by Hunort. And it features Prophylaxis, and the track is Simulacrum.
All right, and that was Simulacrum by Q-Naut featuring Prophylaxis. And we're back with the Marco and Andy Power Hour. We've just been talking about Megaforce, which I'll say was a bit of a letdown, you know, because I'll tell you this. The other day I watched For Your Height Only, which is one of the Wang Wang movies. You ever seen a Wang Wang movie?
No, let me look it up.
Type in Wang Wang, W-E-N-G, W-E-N-G.
Oh my God, that looks really bad.
Dude, it was awesome.
Jesus Christ. It really was? I'll save it then. I'll watch it.
You can watch it on YouTube. The only problem is the quality is so bad.
Yeah, I see it. I got it. I'm saving it now. Oh, that's the clip you sent me before where he's got that primordial dwarf or whatever he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was really funny. Like, the dub is funny, so, like, all the voices are hilarious. The action is fucking hilarious. He just fucking runs around just kicking people in the balls. But I was watching with a buddy, and we were fucking laughing our asses off. Like, the dialogue was amazing. Uh-huh. And, yeah, so that's an example of, you know, when a B-movie is really funny.
Cool.
So, you know, going into Megaforce and seeing that trailer, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be fucking cool. And then it was not. So you want to talk about the fucking flying motorbike?
Yeah, the special effects are terrible. I kind of knew it was coming because I'm like, hang on, I've seen this before. Mm. He gets knocked off his bike or whatever after he throws that grenade like you were talking about. And then I don't understand how he doesn't get shot. Those tanks are just sitting there. I guess there's a lot of smoke around or something because they don't really hit anything. And they just stay in the same spot. They don't move either. But anyway, the plane takes off. The whole mega force is on the plane, but it's missing their commander. So they're flying off and they have the back door still open, and then he starts riding through the smoke, and they're like, yeah, cheering, you know? And then suddenly he hits a button and his wings come out on his bike, on his motorcycle, and then he lifts off and he flies up. But it's not enough that he's going to land on the plane. He has to do like a spin as well, a somersault spin too.
Yes.
It's so ridiculous. And he's just pulling the most ridiculous face while he's doing it. It just looks absolutely absurd.
It's really stupid. Like, at that point, it's like you're watching like a Saturday Night Live skit or something. Like, it's really horribly green screened, and the physics of it just are silly, and like the faces he's making, like, it's meant to be funny, but it's just like, what is this? Like, I wish I even understood the story of the movie. Like, I didn't get it at all. Like, there was a bad guy, and then at one point in the movie he just shows up in a helicopter, and then they just talk like they're friends because they used to know each other. And then I'm like, wait, is this a double cross? Like, I didn't even understand what was going on, but it wasn't a double cross. It was just like,
so
they can't kill him because they crossed the border, and so now the Megaforce are the bad guys.
That makes no sense.
Or something. Like, it was so
no sense.
Way too complicated for a movie that stupid.
No, well, they were helping out, and then suddenly it's like you're the bad guys because it's like it made zero sense whatsoever. Like, absolutely none. And the bad guy knew about it already. That's why he flew in to tell him, and that's why he's being all funny about it. Like, there's something's up. But somehow Megaforce weren't aware of it. So I don't fucking know. It's really, really bad plot twist there.
Yeah, I just didn't even understand it. No. Like, I'm watching, I'm like, did I miss something? And there were some weird edits, but I don't know if that was just the particular site that I was watching the movie on. Because there's like a couple scenes where like people's words would get cut off, like as the scene ended.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that the website? Or is that this movie just has really shitty editing? There were some funny names though as well. That's another thing I wanted to go look up. Because the producer was something, his last name was Hamburg. And then during the opening credits, it said the editor, the name was S. Skip Skulnick, which doesn't sound like a real name. Skip Skulnick. And so I don't know if that's just like where the director was the editor but couldn't put their fucking name in the credits or whatever. Actually, you know what?
Look it up.
Maybe IMDb. Don't they have a thing called Crazy Credits?
Yeah.
Connections, soundtracks, goofs. Yeah, no doubt. Goofs. The fucking movie's a goof.
Mm-hmm.
The company had no credited costume designer. All clothes were designed by the toy company Mattel. That's another thing, too. The costumes were ridiculous.
Yeah, those tight fucking costumes.
Yeah, they're these weird, tight, beige, like, spandex outfits. You can fucking see the dude's dink. It was just like, why? It's such a weird...
Yeah. Did you see the formal dress as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah, with, like, the blue one with, like, the red fucking triangle.
Yeah, it was so weird. Oh, man, that was great.
And we got three nominations for awards.
Yeah, Razzies.
Worst picture. Worst picture, worst supporting actor, worst director.
Nice.
I mean, I guess it deserves them. I'm going to see all cast and crew. I just want to see what they have listed for editor here. Produced, music, cinematographer. Yeah, Skip Skulnick. That's a real name? There's no way that's a real name.
Yeah, that's him, man.
What the fuck? Dude's still working in fucking 2018. He's the co-producer of shows. Skip Skulnick. That's absurd. Okay, listen.
You want to play another track?
Yeah, this is a fucking cool song. Yeah. It's from Gridluster, and it's called Phone Calls from Tokyo. I feel like I'm losing my voice.
Talking too much, mate. Too much. Getting too excited.
And that was Phone Calls from Tokyo by Gridluster. And that is a cool song. And we're here in the Marco and Andy Power Hour. We've been talking about Megaforce. We've been talking about Skip Skulnick.
Yeah, real legend.
Yeah, man.
In the underground scene.
Yeah. I think I'm finally putting together a game design document, and I think I'm going to try and find somebody to help me. I might invest some money into getting somebody to help make my game idea.
You're going
to
make a game?
I would like to.
It's going
to
be like GoldenEye?
Yeah. I want the modern day...
GoldenEye, yeah.
I might be in midlife crisis mode. You know, I mean, how many decades... Like, when I watch there's like all these like, you know, YouTube channels and other things I watch where they just complain about stuff, you know, the state of movies and things like that. Mm-hmm. And there's like a point where enough's enough, you know, like how can you have the same complaints over and over again for years and years and years before you go like, listen, something's got to change or I got to do something. And I don't know how many more years I can go complaining that there is no modern GoldenEye replacement for me until it has to be made. Like, I would love to be able to do a Kickstarter of a thing, but I'm not a game designer and I don't have the time.
Right.
So I have started like looking around trying to find people, and I might just have to like, you know, invest some money, you know, and just get somebody to help me start putting something together that I can maybe show people. And it's been making me think about what it exactly is I want, because when you actually have to present your idea to somebody, you got to present something.
Yeah.
So what I kind of want to design is basically like a multiplayer first person shooter, but that's kind of, I don't want to say easier to play because it sounds weird, but like a game that doesn't require weeks of practice to like memorize maps or whatever. Like, it's sort of designed for kind of older gamers who are nostalgic like me. Like, it's designed for me. Like, I'm making something like a passion that I'm passionate about, and then hopefully can see if other people are as well and maybe try and crowdfund something. But you can't crowdfund something without some initial product, because I've seen some really shitty Kickstarters where some nerd just says like, I'm gonna make a game and it's gonna be like this and this and this, and like, the only way to make a compelling Kickstarter is you have to have started the project and show people like, here's what we're gonna fucking make, you know, here's the thing.
Right. A proof of concept or something they call
proof
it.
Of concept, yeah. I think what I'm essentially making is like an action movie like Death Simulator, because what I love about GoldenEye is still to this day is I still find the shooting more satisfying because I really like the punchy animations, the way that the characters react when you shoot them and stuff. And I just feel like a lot of new games
shoot them in the ass and stuff, right?
Yeah. A lot of new games are so reliant on physics engines and realism that it's sort of getting away from what I consider the fun, which is like action movie type violence, where it doesn't obey the laws of physics. It doesn't have to make sense, but it has to do what happens in action films, you know? You shoot a guy in front of a window, he should go flying out the window, regardless of whether he had the inertia to do so, because when you watch action movies, that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
So I essentially want to make a game that's a multiplayer game with like a horde mode and stuff, lots of bots, that's important to me, split screen's important to me, and I just want to fill it with fucking hundreds of animations.
Yeah.
Like, not physics-based stuff. I want the kind of game where you shoot the guy in the foot and then shoot him in the head, he'll do a different death animation than if you like shoot him in the shoulder and then in the head. Like, just have all these different like permutations of like death animations, and like they'll do different animations depending on where they're standing, what they're near. If they're near like a fucking breaker box, like they'll fly backwards and get electrocuted, you know. If they're at the top of the stairs, they'll roll down the stairs. If they're in front of a window, they'll go flying out the window, like just like a fucking action movie.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I want the kills to look like, and so that will be part of the fun, you know. Every time you play, you'll stumble upon a new animation or like a new death or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, and also too, you know, like in action movies, you know, when people get shot and they fly back against the wall and they like, they slide down the wall and there'll be like the fucking, the blood streaks.
Oh yeah.
That's what I want the game to be like. I want it to feel like an action movie.
Fuck yeah.
Like that's the point. But look, I do have more to say about it, but we should listen to some music first. So how about this one from Bunny X's remix album, Love Minus 80, the remixes. This is Daydreaming by Bunny X, the Sandor Gavin remix.
Your love is like a dream. Swimming, and I know you're thinking. You're so tired of the way things seem to go. Well, I have something to say, and I hope that you will listen. It's just a little thing you are. It's like I'm daydreaming. Your love is like a dream.
And I see you running all night into the morning, thinking that you gotta get through it all alone. Well, I've been calling your name, wishing you would let me in.
And that was Bunny X with Daydreaming, the Sandor Gavin remix. I like the original version as well. I think I played that on the show before, but I enjoyed this remix as well. So good work, Mr. Sandor Gavin and Bunny X. And we're back on the Marco and Andy Power Hour, and I'm telling Marco about my video game idea. And, okay. So another thing about my game is that I don't want to shoot down sights. I want the whole game to be shooting from the hip, like a fucking action hero with like a really generous auto aim, because I think you miss out on some of the coolness of the shooting games when you look down sights, because you don't see the gun. So you don't see the muzzle flash, you don't get the full effect of the gun, right? And when you think of action heroes, they don't aim down sights, right? Like, you just think of fucking Bruce Willis in Die Hard when he's got that fucking submachine gun strapped around him, you know, when he's on the roof. He's just wildly fucking shooting back and forth. It's got that fucking wicked sound. And so that's kind of like the point of the game.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of work though, mate. I don't know. But you got the connections, you know?
I'd have no connections. No, I had to make connections. It's a big project though. I mean, I've had people in the past like volunteer with different things I've been doing. And it always kind of falls apart. And I think the lesson I've learned over these 10 years is like, you know what? If this thing's going to happen, it's going to cost money. And then I'm either just going to have to do some work on the side to pay for it, because I don't think with my brain I'm ever gonna... I can do sound design for games. There's certain things in Unreal Engine I understand, but I don't understand coding, C++ language, and even the blueprints get really complicated for me. Like, I just don't get that language, and it makes more sense to find somebody who does, and then I'll fucking handle the stuff that I know.
Yeah, exactly. You're better off that way, I think. Well, if you need some voice work or something, just let me know.
I will.
Need some crazy Australian villain or something, you know, I could do that voice.
That's going to be a part of it as well. I'm not thinking story first. I'm thinking multiplayer first, because multiplayer is the life of, you know, like, that's where we put most of the time into these games, like GoldenEye and stuff. Like, I played the single player, but like, it was the multiplayer that was the thing that kept the game going. So that's where I'm sort of focused first. I really just want a game that feels like an action movie, and I just don't feel that that exists in the marketplace. And with split screen especially, that's a fucking thing that's just not there. Even the people I talk to, you know, they act surprised when I say that. Like, I'm saying, like, by the way, like, I want this to be split screen. Like, oh, I don't know if Unreal can do that. I'm like, it fucking better be able to. What the fuck? Tell me, fucking, we have like fucking four player split screen in like fucking 1995, and you're telling me these new things can't do it? Like, fuck you. Anyway,
I could be a special bad character for multiplayer. I could be like cunt shot.
Well, no, we.
I'd be like, we got blood over here, mate.
I do envision there being a character creator, because it's going to be based on action movies, but I don't want to get sued.
Right.
So you should have all the pieces to make your favorite action heroes.
Yeah.
Just in the same way that, you know, in the wrestling games, when like Hulk Hogan isn't there in the game, but they give you a handlebar mustache and they give you a bandana so you can make Hulk Hogan. So it's like, if you want to play as a John McClane, you know, there's the wife beater shirt, there's the fucking not wearing any shoes, you got the receding hairline. So those things would all be there, and it would all be just taking inspiration from like 80s action movies.
Yep.
That's like the whole premise. If I can get this thing off the ground, all the ideas would just come from watching movies. Like my favorite movies.
Fuck yeah.
You know, if you have a shotgun, I want it to look like the people, you know, like in like John Woo movies where like when they get shot with a powerful gun, they just get like yanked back on a fucking cord and they just go flying. Or like, you seen Django Unchained?
Yeah, of course. Yep.
So, you know, you remember like those scene at the end where he like walks through the mansion and he shoots that one lady and there's almost like a pause and then she just goes flying sideways.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. It makes no sense, but like, it's really awesome just because his fucking gun is so powerful. Like, it just sends people like flying across the room. That's the kind of stuff I miss. I'm not really keen on realism. I just want it to feel like what you expect from watching action movies.
Yeah.
And then the same thing with the villains. It's not crazy. It's not fucking zombies. It's just fucking, you know, guys in suit jackets, guys in turtlenecks and ski masks, and guys dressed as construction workers with fucking Uzis. Like, I mean, that's like what like the bot characters will look like, you know?
Well, you could always do a GoFundMe, you know, if it starts to get some traction. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, and offer some perks and stuff to get it going. But that's what a lot of people are doing these days. But
yeah, the perks would definitely be get your face on a fucking head.
Yeah.
That would be the thing. Get your face in the game. Again, but I get it. Like, it's just, you know, to be complaining about something for so long, I feel like there needs to be like a button to this story at some point. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want
to
be the guy.
You get to that age now. Yeah. If you don't do it now or soon,
I'm going to be dead.
It's going to be too late because you're getting old, man. You know?
Yeah.
You got to think about that too.
I am. I think that's what this part of my life is about. So that's my plan.
Okay. I like your plan.
I'm going to have to do it in stages, you know, even if I get somebody to help me, you know, it might be like a good chunk of money just to make a preliminary thing that has none of the features that I've talked about, you know, just,
yeah,
we just got to get the ball rolling, you know, and have fucking Stickmen, or the Unreal Engine has this demo man that looks like a kind of robot mannequin, and so all the characters will look like that or whatever, but yeah, I think, you know, it'd be cool to finally fucking make that thing.
Sweet, man. Sounds like a good plan.
Or a really shitty one. Imagine I get bankrupted.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to make a new GoldenEye. Like, that's my fucking story. It's just like, well, he tried. And
game that killed me.
Yeah.
The game that killed me.
And that's all the way I feel about it. Just like, if no one's going to do it, someone's got to do it.
Well, you're going to do it yourself. Yeah. If you want it done right, you're going to do it yourself.
That's right.
That's the fucking thing. I just wanted to say real quick that, you know, I watch a lot of old shitty movies, and most of them aren't really worth mentioning too much, but I did see one the other day that really stood out to me, and I've never seen it before. It's called Time After Time. It's from 1979, and it's got Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, is that the Jack the Ripper time travel one?
Yeah, that was fucking awesome. I really enjoyed that. Like, just out of nowhere, I had a bookmark for some reason. I don't even know why, and it was in my bookmarks for like 2 years. And I was like, all right, because I tried to get through shit, and I was like, all right, well, I bookmarked it for a reason, and I found it online, and I was like, man, I enjoyed that.
Well, I should have fucking watched that then.
Dude, it's really good. Like, it's really well acted. The plot's really cool. I love the scenery, and the shots are really good of San Francisco in 1979. Just the locations and the scenery and the way it's shot, and it's really well acted. It's a really good movie. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we watched Megaforce instead.
Well, I'm sorry, Andy. That was my bad. I didn't know.
Well, look, how about this? Why don't you play me one final song from Marco, and then we'll wrap up.
All right. I got a track here that I'm pretty addicted to as well, and it's an Italo-disco song, and it is pure 80s, man. Like, I had to double-check, like, 10 times to make sure this wasn't actually from the 80s or remake from the 80s. No, it's a new song. It is by Martin Matisky. It's called Dimension Fantasy. And the particular remix that really stands out. The other remixes and the original is okay, but this is really good. It's Oh Lord Remix by Play Paul. We'll be right back.
And that was Martin Matisky. Is that how you say that?
Martin Matisky.
Matisky. And that is a Dimension Fantasy, the Oh Lord remix by Play Paul. That's a nice way to wind down the show with some energy there. I think I spoke too long about my game idea, so...
That's okay, man. It's something you're passionate about. That's good.
Well, maybe some people might be able to offer some help or advice. Like, because there's certain things.
Hopefully.
It's just with coding and stuff. That's the thing. It's too complicated.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the time. Like, I've tried over the years. Like, you know what... What almost triggered some of my weird midlife crisis weird feelings is I have a folder because I've wanted to make this game for a long time. I made a trailer where I tried to learn Blender, and so I tried to do like a fake thing, you know, like where it was just like an animation basically. And I made the layout of the Die Hard office in 3D, but I mean not very well because I was just kind of learning.
Yeah.
And I had a trailer and I used a track from Ogre. I had like the tagline for the game and all this other stuff, and that was in 2015. Uh-huh. That's the fucking folder. It's fucking 2015 I did this. And I've been thinking about it since then. Because at that time I was like, hey, I'll make a fucking wicked trailer. I'll do a Kickstarter. And then it's just another project that fell by the wayside. And I'm like, it's 9 years later. It's fucking 9 years later, man. Like, that's insane.
Dude, time fucking flies so bad. It freaks me out. I'm going to be honest with you.
So I'm not saying that in a depressing way. It's just sort of like, sometimes we have these projects and then they go by the wayside. And I just think, fuck, I mean, if I actually had maintained that passion and actually go like, maybe I'll learn Unreal Engine. That was literally before Unreal Engine went free. Like, there's a point where they decided to give those engines out for free, and then you just pay a percentage if you use their engine and you make the game. And that was before then. So I was like, oh, I'll just animate something and generate some interest with that. And look at that. If I'd fucking tried to learn Unreal then, 9 years later, I probably could have fucking made that game.
Imagine where you could be now.
Yeah. Maybe this is a depressing way to end the show.
Yeah, well, you could be bankrupt too, though, so who knows? I mean, you know.
That's true. There's still time. Anyways, listen, man.
Yes.
It's always nice to chat.
Yeah, man.
And keep on being a cool guy. I should say we did not do a ball school update, but I did have one.
Oh, you did?
We'll save for next time. They're not sending me emails anymore, I don't think, so maybe they've corrected their error. I only got one, so we'll save it for next time.
Maybe they're onto you.
Maybe. I mean, they should be. They shouldn't be sending me these.
No, they're getting free publicity, too, you know?
Yeah, that's what they need.
They do. The ball school.
I would laugh if anyone signed their kid up to go to that fucking German ball school and it's like, oh, I heard all about it on this podcast. That's anyways, man. Well, listen, you get better, okay? So next time I talk to you, I want that cough to be
thanks, mate.
To be gone and those sniffles to be gone.
Sure, I'll work on it.
Or those will never go away. Now, when you have all those big piles of coke around you all the time, it's kind of hard to quit the sniffling.
That would make me feel better, I bet.
It's just a temporary solution, man.
I know. It is. Drugs always is.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for having me on the show, Andy.
Don't do drugs,
that's
kids.
That's a great way to end the show. Yeah, no drugs, okay? Except for pseudoephedrine. That's good when you're sick. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Andy, and thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
And keep being cool. And what the fuck was the thing? What did you used to say? Keeping it 80s?
Keep it real and keep it 80s.
There you go.
Keep it real and keep it 80s.
Beyond Synth Radio is produced by Andy Last. Check the show notes for more information on the musicians featured on the show. Beyond Synth is made possible by listeners like you. Consider supporting Beyond Synth at patreon.com/beyondsynth. Thanks for listening.